Estamos aquí ahora. We're here live broadcasting from Radio Primavera Sound Studio next to the Forum. Ben, who do we have the pleasure of connecting with?
We have the ultimate pleasure of connecting with Liana Flores, who makes... Well, we'll get into what kind of genre of music she makes. She's playing on the 20th of February in Barcelona at Ras Tres. Liana, how are you doing?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm doing very well, thank you.
I'm very pleased to speak to you today, not only because you're coming to Barcelona and you make great music, but because your history involves two places that are very close to my heart, one of which is Norfolk, where I lived for many years, and the other which is St Andrews, where I was born and also lived for many, many years. I've been boring them with this for a while. But yeah, it's a pleasure to speak to you. It's always put down as you're from South Norfolk. Can I ask where exactly?
Nearabouts Norwich.
Okay. And did that sort of influence your sound in a way? I mean, I think you talked once about embracing the openness of where I grew up. And obviously it's a very open place, you know, with very big skies. Did you find that influenced you?
Yes, I think so. I think it did.
I mean... Obviously, it's one thing a lot of people say about one is you have a Brazilian mother and a British father. And it might sound very obvious, but would it be fair to say that your music kind of falls somewhere between those two, the music of those two countries?
Yeah, I think so. It's very influenced by both.
I mean, what particular kind of artist do you like Brazilian-wise?
I really like João Gilberto. I kind of learned to play guitar by listening to him.
And in terms of like the more English folk?
Coming across Vashti Bunyan for the first time really inspired me to start recording my own stuff.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I love that sort of legend about how Bossa Nova was born, you know, out of the fact that João Gilberto, was it João Gilberto? Or was it Antonio Jobim? I can't remember. There was a story of one of the sort of... João Gilberto is the father of Bossa Nova. How he developed his style from having to sing softly and play softly to not disturb neighbors of the houses where he was couch surfing on, because apparently he was quite the couch surfer at a time. Very bohemian. And I always loved that kind of idea, like the how circumstances forced him to develop an incredible new sound that is, you know, very much beloved by today's standard. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you've had to soften the way you play because of your surroundings?
Yes, I live with roommates a lot. So, yeah, I do sometimes.
So in 2024, you signed to Verve Records, which is obviously a very... legendary record label. What? How did you feel about signing to a label with such an incredible track record?
Very, very grateful and just wanted to do right by them.
And you worked on your debut album, Flower of the Soul, with Noah Georgeson in Los Angeles. Why did you want to work with him and why did you want to go to Los Angeles to record?
I didn't originally mean to go to LA to record. I wanted to record closer to home, but I just really liked his sound and the albums that he's worked on. Yeah.
And you recorded with a band as well for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that very different?
Yeah, I recorded on my own before.
Where does the light and bright energy in your music come from? Where do you say it stems from?
Through listening to other music that I enjoy and taking on that influence, I think.
And also as a person, like, what could you sort of, have you ever thought about, you know, the way you make music, the way that something comes out of you, it really does sound very special. And do you ever sort of wonder, like, you know, when you listen to like a whole track list of what you've done, you know, and it's like, oh, I guess, you know, it might stem from, is, I don't know, like habits or part of your childhood?
I'm actually not sure.
So I wanted to go back a bit to your history of making music. You started off making music alone and you would upload it yourself to various platforms. Why did you decide to start off in that way?
I'm not really sure. I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying before about the influence of Norfolk, being that there wasn't that much to do in quite an isolated area. There's not as much to do there as there is in London. So in a way, it was to entertain myself, I think.
And if I'm right, you uploaded, and I think in your own words, you said, you know, it didn't have a massive influence until you were at St. Andrews. And then suddenly it took off on TikTok, right?
Yes, it was a song. Somebody posted it to TikTok, I think, a few years after I released it. So that was quite a surprise.
What did you think? Because I think I remember reading you said a friend or someone was like, look, this has gone absolutely massive.
Yeah.
What did you feel? What did you think?
I'm not sure. I tried to not pay much mind to it. I was surprised and glad to see that the people enjoyed the music, but I didn't want to pay too much mind to it.
What do you think people responded to in that particular song, Rises the Moon?
I have no idea.
I mean, it became kind of really big, right? But you wanted to finish at university, right?
Yeah.
Was that difficult? I mean, I'm sure you were getting lots of, you know, lots of offers. Was it hard to kind of concentrate for the last bit?
I just wanted to focus on finishing uni, and I think waiting a year also helps, because if something like that happens, then people can start to view the music as something more financial, which I wasn't as interested in. So wanted to just kind of wait a year and allow that to thin out a little bit.
That's amazing. Because usually people, especially in the music industry, everyone's like, oh, the opportunities come once in a lifetime. You've got to get on the train once it stops at the station, you know, don't miss the bus, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. and they fill artists, young artists especially, with all this anxiety. And you had the maturity to say, no, wait a while. You know, where does that come from? Are you able to sort of explain where you get that sort of wisdom and that tranquility to take things at your own pace?
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not sure it comes from a wiser place than any other approach to the situation, but I think I had some reassurance in the fact that I was studying for a degree, and for the last years of my life running up to that point was looking to have a career as a biologist. So music was sort of subsidiary at that time. It's now my full-time job.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, you biology, but also specializing in zoology, if I'm not mistaken. Which is your favorite animal?
At the moment, I really like muntjac, because I went home for Christmas and Norfolk has a population of muntjac deer. It's like this little deer. It's the size of a dog, more or less. They originated in Asia, but are very invasive to Norfolk, and you just see them just kind of grazing in the mist.
Well, I imagine you've had to study habits and, you know, behaviors from of different kinds of animals that we're not accustomed to hearing of in everyday conversation. Is there anything from studying an animal's behavior that you thought, this is something that I could apply to my routine or my life that would improve it? Is there anything you could share with us?
I'm afraid I'm not sure. Wait, let me think. Well, there's some things that can be useful to apply to human life in general. Like my dissertation was in studying potato parasitic worms. Sorry, this is dreadfully boring. Parasitic worms to try and prevent crop losses. So that can be useful for the lives of humans in general. So there's less crop loss.
I'm thinking about for some reason, my algorithm is constantly showing me wildlife videos of animals in the wild, you know, attacking each other, lions attacking zebras or crocodiles when zebras, poor things, are trying to cross the river.
And it's very exciting to watch.
It's exciting, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm always kind of a little bit heartbroken about how the other animals in the herd never try and defend the animal that's being dragged into the river by this crocodile who's barely got a pinch on the hoof, you know, and it's like, if another one came and stepped on the, you know, it's like, why are animals so egotistical in the to preserve themselves, right? It's like, they won't sort of, whereas humans, which we're kind of the worst animals on the planet, but at least we look out for each other in the best case, and, you know, if someone trips on the subway, you help them up, right? Why, who do you think is right? The animals preserving themselves or humans?
Who do you think is right?
The concept of right and wrong when applied here is really interesting. I suppose life has its mysteries.
I wanted to ask something about St. Andrews, because, as I said, it's another place I know well. And do you think, like, again, it's kind of quite isolated. Did it change kind of the music you were writing going up there?
I like to listen to a lot of folk music and jazz folk type music and walk around because there's lovely scenery there. There's a beach and a forest as well. So maybe listening to a lot of that kind of music influenced the sort of things I would write as well.
Did you ever sort of connect with that Fife folk scene, the kind of I've forgotten the name, but the people
Pentagram.
Who do...
Huh? Was it Pentagram?
No, the people, I've forgotten their name, but they live on the coast of Fife, there's a very strong kind of folk music there.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
I never did, I don't think. I went to like one folk session in a pub, and I was like, this is really cool, I should go again, and then I didn't.
But would you ever play? I've been to a folk session in a Norfolk pub as well. Would you ever play? Would you ever feel like you could get up there and do it then?
Yeah, probably. But I never have. I've been to a few folk sessions in London just to listen.
Was it daunting the first time you stood up on stage with your, you know, to sing your own songs in front of strangers? Was it something that you had to overcome?
Yeah, it was horrible at the beginning, but it's like a callus that builds over time and you just become less sensitive to it with repetition.
Hmm. Do you have sort of techniques where you just let the light blind you and you don't sort of see faces or you don't need
just
to?
Just repetition. Keep doing it.
Yeah, repetition is good.
I was thinking about Fence Records, who operate out of Anstruther and Crail. which always surprised me. These tiny little seaside towns have very
King
very
Creoso.
Yeah. That's quite a long. There's not much music from St. Andrews, but there is them. And how about moving to London? I think I read somewhere that you often go back to Norfolk to keep writing. Is that right?
I go back at Christmas and Mother's Day.
Oh, but it's not. I it's not to sort of seek inspiration. It's to have Christmas and Mother's Day,
family to see family time.
Yeah.
Speaking of other influences, I mean your album "Flower of the Soul." I understand that the title is a nod to one of your all-time favorite songs, which is "Moving" by Kate Bush. Is this correct?
It is a little bit, yeah.
Is she on a... Do you ever sort of dream about... Would the idea of a collaboration with Kate Bush seem appealing to pursue?
No, horrifying. I don't even remotely deserve... I'm sweating just at the concept. I could never.
But I wondered... slightly jumping around, but... I wondered how it feels, because I'm never, ever going to know, to have a song with... more than 600 million plays on Spotify. I mean, that amount of people absolutely blows my mind. Do you ever think of it, like 600 million?
I think past a certain number, you can't really... I think the human mind isn't really built to perceive large numbers that way. But it's cool. It feels pretty great. Like, it comes to precede you a bit after a while, but I don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, and tell us about working with Tim Bernardes on the song Butterflies. He's fabulous. How did you come into contact with him?
Yeah, he's really great. That was a real honor to have him sing on that track for the album. That song, we recorded a solo version of it, and then I think it was through my label that got in contact with him and got him to send his part, and we did it remotely, the collaboration, and I'm really happy with how that turned out.
I was reading that at your live shows you've asked fans to come dressed in fantasy costumes, right?
From time to time, it's not obligatory.
Well, why do you ask them?
Just because it's fun to be in a room and have something in common with the people around you and feel embodied in that way, and I think that a costume can help with that. But it's just a suggestion. It wasn't obligatory for anybody.
I was going to ask if you have any suggestions for how people should come dressed for the Barcelona gig.
Oh, however they like, as long as people come to it if they want to.
But that would be a great... Well, maybe not a great idea, but you know, if you propose like a theme, you know, I don't know, I'm not yeah. too on board with...
Flowers in hair tends to be a go-to.
Flowers in hair. Like flower crowns and things like that's always a good. And it would smell nice, wouldn't it, if it had fresh flowers,
fragrant,
yeah,
although the smell of raspberries is sort of more stale beer than the flowers.
It'd have a bit of a balancing aromas. It's not stinky, don't worry, it's not a stinky venue, it's just a proper venue where there's beer.
What I was going to say, do you know, I assume you've been to Norwich Arts Centre?
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me a lot of that, and that's always my sort of reference for gigs, basically.
Oh, great. Yeah, I love Norwich Arts Centre.
So you play, February the 20th? You're also playing Madrid.
Lisbon.
Yeah.
And Orense in Galicia. In Lisbon, will you be speaking more in Portuguese to the audiences and stuff? Will they be able to expect that?
Yeah, why not? My Portuguese isn't amazing, but I'll give it a try.
You speak with your mother in English mainly?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Because she's Brazilian, right? She's okay. Ah, sweet. Oh, another question that fans are always interested in: do you stick around after the show to at the merch table to not greet fans, but you know, take part in selling merchandise and talking?
Say hello, basically.
Say hello.
Yeah, a lot of the time I do. I can't make any promises because sometimes I'm a bit sick or something, and I don't want to pass it along. But I'd say most of the time I do. But I just never want to say every time, and to avoid disappointing people, if not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought your album is brilliant. I'm totally in love with it. It's wonderful to listen to. It makes me feel really good.
It's so sort of. Thank you. It's so listenable. So sort of. I don't know.
Very Verve. I mean, I wouldn't expect less from Verve Records. And you know, if I wasn't. Well, anyway, I didn't know you from way back, from when you started publishing your EPs and stuff, and now I'm on board the Liana Flores train.
Oh, thank you so much.
As I say, Barcelona, February the 20th, I will be there. I'm very much looking forward to it, and I hope everything goes well until then.
Lovely. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Liana. See you soon.
Have a good day. See you soon.
Bye.